At this time, now, if you can take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to start at verse number 22. And it says these words when you get there. I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And you know that he is righteous. You know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Brother Tobias, and also Brother Dorr. And I'd like to be able to say hello to church family and listeners. It's a blessing to be here this morning, and not alone, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Holy Spirit is with us. I'd like to be able to give you an assignment before we get into the message this morning. And the assignment would be of a tremendous help to you. We are hoping then that this message this morning might be able to give you strength to be a greater fighter for the Lord. And these passages I'm going to give to you, I'd like for you to be able to read them, and the Lord will give you a special blessing for doing so. Take your paper and pen, and the first four verses in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, I want you to be able to read those verses. And then I would like for you to be able to read John's Gospel, chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 1 through 5. And then I want you to be able to read two chapters, and I'd like for you to be able to keep reading these, and whatever else you read, these will be a tremendous, tremendous blessing to you. And these verses, these chapters that I'm going to assign, would be Proverbs chapter 8 and chapter 9. And especially look at verse 14 of chapter 8 of Proverbs. Now, if you want to understand the Bible in a real way and understand the things of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you would apply yourself prayerfully to these portions and you get into the Word of God, you'll be tremendously blessed, because what you will find in Proverbs chapter 8 and 9, you will find some depths in God that you may not really have understood. You see, God is a spirit, has always been a spirit. He is a spirit. And there was a time that the universe didn't exist. Think about that. There was a time there was no heaven. There was a time there was no earth. But there has never been a time that there was never a God. God has always existed. Now, as you read chapter 8 and 9, prayerfully, God will show you some unspeakable things to show you who He is. And you won't be the same. You'll be walking around saying, "Hallelujah, Lord, thank you for being such a marvelous God." And what we're going to go through this morning, it's going to be a real blessing to you, that you might be able to know the Lord better and win the battles. Now, you'll find in that 14th verse of Proverbs chapter 8, and I'm going to get to John, but I want you to be able to see what I'm doing. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. Here's what God the Father says, God the Son says, and God the Holy Spirit. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. All strength. One translation says that. Another translation says, counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. I am understanding. That's what it says. And I am power. Those two things. And the tool that God worked with is wisdom. And wisdom is the master craftsman. And the master craftsman is Jesus. Keep that in mind. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I am understanding. Remember Jesus said to the disciples, they asked him, and Jesus said, I am the way, not a way, the truth, not some truth. I'm all the truth, all the understanding, all the power. What else you need? Well, what is the purpose? What is God's purpose? In God's purpose, and He says it in 1 John 3:8, here's His purpose. The purpose of God is to destroy the works of the devil. That's God's purpose. His purpose is to destroy the works of the devil. Can he pull it off? he has already. Destroy the works of the devil. That's God's purpose. Now, a person may have a dream, and a dream is a good thing. Dr. King says, I have a dream. And dreams are wonderful. But dreams may never be fulfilled. It's good to have, but there's no guarantee that your dream is going to be fulfilled. What's the difference between a dream and purpose? You see, a purpose is different than a dream because a purpose will be done. And God said, my purpose, not my dream, but my purpose is destroy the works of the devil. You recall that they didn't like what Jesus was saying, Sadducees and Pharisees and some of the leaders, and Jesus said to them, destroy this temple. He's talking about his body. And in 3 days, I'll raise it up. I've got a purpose, and my purpose is to destroy the devil's work. And since my purpose is to destroy his work, nothing you can do about it, because I am going to do what I promised. Kill me, but I'm going to fulfill my purpose. That's what he said. Did he do it? Yes, he did. Now, let me say this. Back in the days of the radio, when it only had a radio for communication, and we as children and parents would gather around the radio and listen to what was going on worldwide. And at that time, one of the famous times that you listened to the radio was when one of the best fighters in the world in the professional sports, boxing, was Joe Louis. And Joe Louis was a champion. They had named him the Brown Bomber. And he fought everything that came in his way. For 11 years, he was the world's champion. Nobody could defeat him. Well, before he became the world champion, there was a man in the world that was a dictator, and the dictator hated Jewish people, and he also hated black people. He was a racist, Hitler. And Hitler had a group of young people following him, and he was teaching them that they were superior to all other people. And you know about the 6 million Jews that were destroyed. Know about Jesse Owens and how he hated Jesse Owens, and Jesse Owens won in spite of Hitler didn't want him to win. And also he had a champion by the name of Max Mellon. And Max Mellon was a good, smart fighter. And he came over to the United States, and he got in the ring with Joe Louis, and he defeated Joe Louis. And he embarrassed Joe Louis. He embarrassed him. Well, Joe Louis left the ring and went back home. And I mean, he went in the gym, and he practiced. Max Mellon went back home enjoying defeating this little fella. But he also gave him a second chance to come back to be able to fight him a second time. And when Max Miller came the second time to be able to get in the ring with Joe Louis, and all the people of the nations and United States was gathered around the radio, listening, wondering what was going to happen. Max Miller got in the ring and he was ready to be able to do as he did before. And the announcer and the referees were there, and the one that was calling out the numbers. And when as soon as they tapped the gloves together, Joe Louis came out and destroyed him. Had Max Miller crying, begging, pleading. But see, Joe Louis had determined, not dreaming about having the championship, but he purposed to destroy Max Miller. And Max Miller was never the fighter again, because Joe Louis determined that he was going to destroy Max Miller. And this is what I want you to be able to see. God has an enemy. And that enemy is Satan. Satan is sin. Satan interfered with God's program. He said God was a liar. And he said things about God he shouldn't have said. And Jesus said, my purpose is to be able to destroy the devil. That's what I want you to be able to now follow me. God the Father sent his Son. That's the beginning of the Word of God. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus. He sent Jesus to represent him. And Jesus came and represented the Father. He did an excellent job, powerful job, in representing the Father. The Father. Everything that Jesus did, the Father, the Father, the Father. And Jesus came down and fulfilled everything that the Father wanted. Everything. He was sinless. Purpose. He kept the law. See, in Adam, all had died. Satan had embarrassed. But Jesus came here and lived a perfect life. Life. Now, John, the apostle, understood this. And that's when he talks about it in 1 John. He talks about it. And this is what we're going to get into. You see, God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Father and God the Son sent the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to be able to destroy the works of the devil through believers. We don't have to bow down to Satan. The Holy Spirit is here, the Holy Spirit. Is here to take us and mop Satan up. But you know, we're letting Satan mop us up because we don't know God's purpose. See, a Christian shouldn't be walking around crying. The devil should be the one crying. You can point to him, his destiny, lake of fire. He's going to go to the lake of fire. He's going to be there. Who said so? God. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you an offering. I'm going to send to you another comforter. I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to take the things of mine and show unto you. Is he doing that? This is what this passage is saying here. Notice, Look at verse 22 of chapter 2. Who is a liar? Who's the one that said he's going to be like God? Satan, right? Yeah. Satan is the first sinner. He's a liar. He will never defeat God. He says, but you have an anointing. Who is a liar but he who deny that Jesus is the Christ? Who is a liar but say that Jesus is not going to mop Satan up? I'm going to get me another God. Because Jesus is not working. Don't you think that? Jesus will never be defeated. This is what John is saying. Who is a liar but he who denied that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denied the Father and the Son. Don't you know the combination of the Father and the Son you cannot break? And the reason you cannot break it because Jesus Christ, what? Is equal with the Father. Has always been equal with the Father. When you come with a doctrine that Jesus didn't always exist, you have no power. You have to believe that Jesus has always existed. He's God. Notice. Whoever denies the Son denies having the Father. You don't have the Father either. If Jesus is not God, the Father is not God, you don't have a God. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Who is Jesus? God. He is total man, every whit, and total God. That's who he is. And you can't defeat him. He can't lie. He's truth. Absolute truth. Absolute power. All power is in his hand. Notice. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. In other words, you go back and read what happened to Moses and Noah and Old Testament and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God worked through their lives and they were victorious. Read the 11th chapter of Hebrews and see what they accomplished. How did they accomplish? Through Jesus Christ. Look at it. If what you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also will abide in the Son. You will what? Draw closer. You will be able to lay hold to Jesus. And you won't let him go. You remember Jacob? When Jacob wrestled all night, who was he wrestling with? He was wrestling with Jesus. Did he win? Jesus named him because Jacob would let him go. So you got to bless me. Yeah, my legs are out of order. But you got to bless me. And Jesus said, you know more, Jacob. You're Israel. You wrestle with God and you know him. Do you know God? Do you know? I don't care what you're going through. Do you know God? Look. And this is the promise. Verse 25. This is the promise that he has promised us. And what has he promised us? Eternal life. What kind of life is that? That's the life before God ever created the universe. Eternal life. Genesis chapter 1 says, before the beginning, in the beginning, God. Now, that's a lesson in itself. What about God? That's course 101 forever. All we know that God exists. And then we also know that he created the heavens. Everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything. That same God is the God that we know today as Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father. Same God. Same God. That's what John is saying here. He has promised us eternal life. And if God has given us eternal life through his Son, he will give us, the scripture says, all things. If he give us his Son, he will give us all things. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. You see, Hitler tried to deceive his people, you see, that they were superior to every other group. Jesse Owens didn't pay him too much attention and outran him. Joe Lewis didn't pay him any attention because, well, he knew how to flesh like he was. But now you can believe deceivers. The deceiver come to be able to put a blanket over you so that you won't be able to see the whole picture. But when you know who Jesus Christ is, nobody can deceive you. My God can do all things. My God is perfect. We have a group of people called scientists now. And you got COVID-19, coronavirus. And they're working feverishly trying to find a vaccination to be able to destroy the virus. That's what they're doing. They're dreaming. They're dreaming, working, hope they can come up with this. Some method. They ought to be commended for that. But you see, when they break through and find something to be able to destroy this virus, and they can put it on the market and be able to say, this will be able to take care of that virus. That's the purpose. They're working feverishly. In many cases, they broke through on certain diseases. And God may give them the wisdom to be able to break through on this one. But at the present time, he hasn't given it. Polio, many other kinds. But Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, you see, the devil didn't realize how God worked. He thought he was smartest God. You'll find that over in Isaiah. And Ezekiel, he thought he was smart, you know. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to be smart. And so his attack was to be able to take Jesus out, to kill Jesus. And he thought that was the finish line. So before he got a chance, he thought to kill Jesus, he put Jesus before the mob. They lied on him. How is he winning? They spit on him. They cursed him. Is he winning? took a whip with steel on it, pull out portion of his flesh. Is he winning? You know the story. Oh, I mean the devil and the demon, you see, they were slapping their hands, you see, because what? We're winning. Jesus is being defeated. And they whipped him all night long. They took his clothes. Oh, well, he can't even keep his clothes. He's winning. The devil says, we are winning. And then something happened. Jesus said, Father, it's finished. And the devil said, we got him now. We got him. Father, into my hand, or thy hands, I commit my spirit. Well, we won. Day one, day two. Day three. And you know the story. Came out of the grave. Who won? Didn't Jesus say we're going to win? Destroy this temple, my body, and in 3 days I'll raise it again. And any problem that you face, when Jesus is in the mix, the problem is headed for destruction. Jesus cannot be in any situation unless he wins. Nothing can happen in your body, only temporarily. Even when you die, it's only temporarily. Because you're going to rise again. Only those bodies that Jesus is not in is the losers. And this is what John says. Don't be deceived. But the anointing which you have received from him abide in you. The Holy Spirit is here to be able to direct you, to be able to say, don't you forget Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit came to make his abode in you. And he stands up and he tells you every day, you're not a loser because Jesus is the winner. You're not a loser. Just remember Jesus. Remember he got up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Notice, abide in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. In other words, you don't need some person to be able to teach you. You see that you're going to make it if you're born again. The Holy Spirit tells you that. You know you're all right if you're born again. You know that you're all right because God loves you. You know you're all right. Folk can say that you're inferior and all other things. They can say what they want to say, but if you're in Christ, you are what? All right. Look at it. You don't need anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing teach you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it have taught you, you will abide in him. In other words, get closer. Get closer to Jesus. The only way that the fruit can be able to get more power from the vine is to get closer to it. And the only way you can be able to get more power to God is to get closer to him. Get closer to him. Get to know him. That's what John is saying. You see, John was thrown on the Isle of Patmos because he was close to Jesus. They tried to destroy him and threw him in a kettle of hot boiling oil, and that didn't get him. It didn't get the Hebrew boys either. You see, when the enemy is trying to get you, you see it, it's hard to try to defeat God, you see, when God says, I will destroy you. And now he says, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What Jesus was saying, I was with you when you were going through these trying times. I was right there. Lord, you let the devil whip me up. And he said, I was right there with you. I was right there with you. And Jesus is right there with you, what you're going through. You may be going through a hell right now, but Jesus is there with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. He may not say anything, may not do anything that you think you ought to do, but he is with you. That's what he says. And he said, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Born again people trust God. And our world's in a mess right now. Our country's in a mess right now. But we don't need to be messed up in it. We have a God that has never lost a battle and will never lose a battle. You see, Dr. King again said, I've got a dream. And I've been to the mountaintop. And he said, we as a people may get there. I may not get there with you. But the people, that was encouragement. But Jesus said, I will destroy the works of the devil. And he will be there. You can trust him. What you're going through? What are you going through? He said, I am understanding. I am not some understanding. I am education. I am not a few letters. I am power. Not some power. All power. I am. And that's what we have. And that's what we should depend upon. I hope and I pray that you will dig in, open this Bible, go through it, believe it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you have to get up early or whatever you see, get into this book. Eat it. Eat this book. Eat the Word of God. Because we've got some difficult days ahead. And you need to know the Word of God. There's going to come a time, perhaps, when you're going to be threatened to be killed if you do not take a certain kind of stand. I don't know what you're reading the papers and following what's going on, but you should. There are things that are happening And Christians are going to pay the price. You can call them the left or right. You'll call the left and right. But Christians are going to pay the price. You're going to be persecuted. And the best thing to do is to cry, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Because if you stay here, you're going to suffer. Can't run away from it. What should we do in the meanwhile? And this, and I'm finished. We should go to the highways and the byways and compel people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be talking about Jesus. Jesus. When somebody starts talking, you need to be able to cut in and be able to say, "Jesus." He said, "What you saying? What about Jesus? He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Jesus." If they curse you, "Jesus. Jesus." I want you to be able to take a stand. take a stand. You have the greatest power in the world. Jesus. Father, we're thankful. Thank you for Apostle John and Lord, what he went through, and he shared his experience. The little children, because he has gone through it, and he wanted to be able to be an encouragement to those that are left behind. And help us, Lord, to get into this book, not to be lazy, not to say it's too much, but get into this book, believe it, act upon it, trust. Not tomorrow, but today. In Jesus' name, amen.